It is that time once again, Parish of the Patriots, episode number, let's double check, 372. The good times keep on rolling. Hard to believe another week has already flown by. I am recording this show a little closer to showtime than I normally do. Recording this fairly early on Monday morning so that you have a time frame. If any craziness blows up Monday evening, that's why I'm not talking about it, because I'm recording this on Monday morning. And of course, as always, we've got a lot to talk about. All sorts of things going on. We will get into some Christian specific topics, just generally all sorts of great stuff. Mostly whatever I feel like. It's kind of the overall theme of the show. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It's we got the snail mail. That's all I got. There it is. P.O. Box. Learn to address an envelope. And as always, it'll be very much appreciated. And we do have an installment in our listener supporter mailbag this week. So let's jump into that. And we'll jump into the rest of the show from here. And this is Dear Dan. This is a simple thank you. We share your values and views about the general societal mess. Continue on with your natural coaching and fresh viewpoints. I've listened to you for many years now. Thanks. And then there's a lot here, which we're not going to, as always, I edit down. And not everything is for everybody. So it is, I do read all of it, though, but I don't share everything with everybody. But to summarize the rest of what we have here, and what this is actually what I'm going to use to kind of jump off this week. For every generation, we are in the crash now, and no one can escape. We are in the crash is on. Quit waiting for it. That's from M&B. Thank you very much. And we're going to use that as a good jumping off point. I kind of already had a general outline sketched out in my not always very organized brain here. And that just kind of fit perfect into a spot to jump off from. You know, the crash is now. You know, people are talking about we're waiting. You know, you still see people talking about, you know, where are we going? Is it going to go? And we are actually kind of in the midst of it. And I pretty much share that viewpoint. How bad will it get? How far down will it go? Nobody knows. But there are some aspects of this I want to get into. And ultimately want to get into some encouragement here. So I don't like a defeatist mindset. Bad times come and go. Empires rise and fall. This one is falling. It's in steep decline. I mean, this is where we're at. What that's going to look like as it transpires, we don't know. Nobody really knows. But, you know, other people who came before us have lived through the same thing, you know, and it's just our turn. Some people won't survive it. I mean, it just, I'm not, you know, claiming some kind of apocalyptic disaster necessarily. But, I mean, I look around this country at some of these really soft, weak people, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to sound like hyper macho here or something. I just mean like these people that are dysgenic, you know, they don't, I call them the mutant people. They look really strange. They're just extremely fragile. You can tell they're extremely fragile. And they're able to function to the extent that they do because they have a society that's structured to allow that. And as it falls apart, and it is falling apart, we're seeing this right now, that that structure that coddles them, that takes care of them so that they're able to survive, won't be there anymore. And a lot of them aren't going to make it. You know, I'm not celebrating it. I'm just saying that's my view. I think you're going to see a lot of people when the rubber hits the road. They're not going to be able to deal with it, and they're going to check out. I think we will see them. You know, we have to understand that, you know, again, like I said earlier, these things happen, and empires come and go, and societal collapses happen, and people live through it. Some people even come out the other side doing better off, being better off than they were before. Who knows? Don't get discouraged. It might be you. But right now we are in the crash. We've gone over the cliff. We're just waiting to hit the bottom. And we do, because of that, we have a lot of different things to observe. Now, as I said, I'm recording this on Monday morning. And the news this morning, Trump has now launched, because he's getting more and more detached from reality, he's announced Project Freedom. You have to love how they have to attach marketing terms to their different operations. Marketing terms. Project Freedom. They can't just say, oh, we're going to go do this. They have to name it Project Freedom. Just gives me just... I just want to burst out into the Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American, God bless the USA song when I hear a name like Project Freedom. I just think of screaming bald eagles coming to the rescue. Anyway, Trump has announced his Project Freedom idea, and he's going to have the Navy go in and escort all these ships that are stuck at the Strait of Hormuz through complete detachment from reality. The U.S. Navy can't get within 200 miles of Iran or they get shot up. They get missiles launched at them and stuff, and they have to run away and stay outside of that. But he just comes out and says, oh, we're going to do this now. I'm sorry for people who got talked into joining the military by the recruiters, you know. You're going to get college mostly paid for. It's going to be great. You're going to go see the world. Join the Navy. Because they're probably going to pick a boat, a really old boat, and tell these guys, your job is going to go, you're going to go sail into the Strait of Hormuz to escort these ships out, rescue these ships. But their real job is going to be, you actually have a secret mission for America, for Trump. Your mission, see, we got the cover that you're going in to escort ships out, but we got an alternate mission for you, sailor. That's right. Your mission is to get sunk and die, preferably, probably all of you. That way they can try desperately to whip up some sort of support for this foolhardy adventure that was undertaken on behalf of Israel against Iran. You know, they're desperate to try to gin up some sort of American support. And, you know, America has a long track record. Sunk ships, that's always, they go to the book. They don't have a lot of original ideas. They go to the playbook. What do we got? You know what's always worked well? Sink a ship. What do we got that we can be rid of? Stick some sailors on it and tell them to go in there and escort these ships out. Go, your mission, sailor, is to go get sunk and preferably die. That way, America, maybe people will rally to the flag and to America. That's got to be encouraging. Of course, while the people that order these guys into this situation are sitting back nice and cozy, nice and safe, cashing in, doing insider trading, making bank. Just, I can't picture it. I mean, I can't. I just can't picture it. Also, in other news, I saw a story last week. Paul Craig Roberts had an opinion piece on it. And supposedly in the Trump administration, they're working on or considering an executive order, because that's how the country apparently is run now, by the way, executive order. That you're going to have to go down to your bank. If you want to have a banking account, if you want to keep your bank account, you're going to have to go to your bank and submit all of your biometric data, iris scans for your eyeball, facial recognition. Put you in the beast system. Put you in the Palantir system. You're going to have to go down. Submit your biometrics or no bank account for you. Of course, the idea, the marketing, because they have to sell this to you. It's a product. And they have to sell it to everybody. And, of course, they're going to go with the old standby. It's to fight the migrant. It's to crack down on the immigrants. I remember many years ago, many, 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 many years ago. I don't know. This was back when Ron Paul was still a thing. So probably, I don't know, at least 15, maybe 20 years ago. This was way before Trump, way before Trump. And I had a guy, this was back when I had like a regular job, when I could have a regular job. And there was a guy who came by doing a political survey for TMR. And he was like, would you support immigration reform, if attached to it was a thing that, you know, we would build a wall. Yes, the wall was existed in think tanks as a in marketing strategy before Trump ever came along. And he says, would you support immigration reform, and which always means just legalize the people that are already here, if it was attached to building a fence, building a wall to keep these people out? You see, you're going to let the ones that are already here stay, but 100%, even back then, and I didn't have any of the, nowhere near the amount of vast political knowledge that I have now. Little joke there. But even then, I was like, man, I've seen this before. You know how many times I've heard y'all say you're going to do something like this? No more anybody coming in. But we got to legalize the ones that are here. And of course, they never stop people from coming in. Anyway, I remember this guy was shocked because I told him at the time, I said, you know, my problem with your idea, I said, is if y'all build, I don't think y'all will actually build the fence. I don't think you will, but this would require it. Mm-hmm. I said, and if you did build a fence, build a wall, I think it might be more to keep us in than to keep them out. And he was shocked with it, that I said that. And this was, like I said, this is probably, if I had to guess, 2012 or something. Like I say, it was back Ron Paul was trying to run and whatnot. And I'm like, I think it's going to be ultimately to keep us from escaping, from getting out of this place. And I remember he was shocked and surprised. And I kind of see it that way. You know, it's always funny how they justify this stuff. You know, the migrants. We're going to crack down on the immigration. You don't want any more immigrants in here, do you? Then go to your bank. Like this is the answer. It was kind of like when the answer to immigration was to dress up a bunch of guys with ski masks on and dressed up like soldiers and going and snatching randos off the street and shoving them in a van. That was how you're going to deport however many millions of people. Yeah. They always claim they want to fix these issues, and the issues are not complicated. They make them complicated so that they don't have to actually fix them. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. But then you see them, they'll come up with these convoluted fixes. You know, it's like something from an old Looney Tunes cartoon or something. You know, you can't just, the one character can't just, you know, grab the other character and keep it from running around. They've got to get the, like, I don't know, a string and a cable and a pulley, and you put the Acme anvil on one end of it, and then it goes around through these other pulleys, and then when it comes out the other side, you know, it's going to drop this thing on them. And you think, why didn't he just grab the other character running around? You know, that's part of the comedy routine. And that's how policy works when it comes to this stuff. It's like, oh, we're going to do something about immigration. Oh, you're going to, I don't know, you know, close the border and, you know, when do something, you know, to deport some people, you know, not dressing up federal goons and ski masks grabbing randos off the street. You know, I mean, some kind of actual, like, I don't know, fairly straightforward policy. I could sit here and jot one down in about 10 minutes that would make more sense than anything the government actually does. No, we're not going to do that. We've got a better plan than that. And here comes the cable running around in the pulleys. Gonna this convoluted plan. You see, all of these immigrants that come here illegally, they want to go to the first thing, you know what the first thing they want to do? They want to go to the bank and open a bank account. We're going to stop that. We're going to force them. You're going to make them have an ID? Well, that won't work because we give them IDs. Wait a minute. When they came in to get an ID and they don't have a birth certificate and they're here illegally, wouldn't that be a good time to go ahead and round them up and send them back? No. You don't understand. It doesn't work like that. We can't do that. No. We give them IDs. We give them driver's licenses. So that won't work. Don't question it. Okay, so what is your plan? Well, see, when they come into the bank, and they all want a bank account, that's the first thing they want to do when they come to America to steal our freedoms. They want to open a bank account. And then we'll get them. We'll have them submit a biometric scan scan your eyeballs and your face and then we'll crack down on them. Then we'll know. I didn't hear any kind of explanation of how that's actually going to, I don't know, stop them from being illegal or whatever the hell. Kind of, it's just like a, I don't know, like I say, it's like a comic book villainy or something. then we'll crack down on them, of course. And then I'm sure it would be run by Palantir. And of course, like I said, I read about this. Paul Craig Roberts wrote about it last week. And, you know, you read this and you read about these things, you hear about these things, and you just get, I catch myself. And this is kind of where I want to get into. But I read about that. And, you know, I like most of you, you read about these sort of things. And what do you get? You get this sinking feeling, you know. You start thinking, well, you know, it's pretty tough to do anything without a bank account. But they're going to make you go down and get a biometric scan to keep your damn bank account. You know, you get a sinking feeling because it's just always this kind of bullshit, isn't it? Couldn't they just once screw up and have it benefit the rest of us? It's always just another step, just on and on. It just never, it's never quit. We're going to do what we deal with it. And like most of you, you hear about these things and you just, I catch myself getting like this sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. And then I stop for a minute to consider that, because I got to thinking about it, and that sinking feeling, that feeling of almost helplessness, that's part of the programming, isn't it? Because I asked myself, why do I have that feeling? You know, why do I have that emotional, because it's an emotional reaction. Why do I have that feeling? It's part of the programming. I believe one of the secrets of overcoming their bullshit is recognizing it. We don't recognize it. And we get a reaction to it, and we don't even recognize that this too is a part of how they've programmed us, socially conditioned us with their nonstop psyops and all the rest of. Talking about news this morning, before I continue on, we're going to continue on that thought, by the way. But also in the news, a cruise ship has been shut down because there's a new virus on board, and the media is showing one of these computer generated pictures of the virus, and it looks just like the COVID. It's just a round ball with a little spiky thing sticking off. So, you know, doing another virus thing is not out of the question either. Feel the sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach yet? Don't worry, that's going to be relevant too, because we're going to be talking, we're going to be looking back a little bit at COVID as we continue thinking about these things and discussing them. Back to the sinking feeling we all automatically get when we hear about the latest round of nonsense, and why that is, how that's a part of we have been conditioned. All of us, we like to think we understand what's going on and we're aware of what's going on. But the reality is we've been subjected to this programming our entire lives. We have. And you know, as aware we are, informed as we believe we are on different issues, we also have to be aware that we, in the background, is stuff that they started putting in our heads when we were little kids and up to now. And it's just something we have to overcome. It's just something we have to be aware of and recognize it when it flares up, so that we can use our mind and reasoning to acknowledge that and set it aside. Now, in the face of all of this, biometrics and maybe possibly incoming biometric scans for a bank account, failing economy, prices going through the roof. You think we got prices now? You think gas and diesel fuel is high now? You ain't seen nothing yet. In the face of all of that, we have to step back is don't get sucked into the negativity. Now, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not one of those motivational speaker people, you know, that just, you know, it's going to be great. If we think positive, everything will be fine. You know, if you've been marched off to a gulag, you can think positive about it all you want. Your ass still going in a camp. No, it's going to be pretty hard to be positive about that. So positive think, the power of positive thinking. I mean, that's all well and good, but that only going to get you so far. And get into what I'm looking to get into today is fighting the programmed negativity. Because when you have that feeling, the sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, it basically, why do you have that? Because they're going to do it and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. You're the victim. They're going to subject you to it. And all you can do is take it. You know, there's no escape. They got you. You want a bank account? You're going to get the face scan. Economy's tanking. You're going to be poor while they all get rich. It always works this way, doesn't it? See, I believe part of that, the reason we've been conditioned to have that emotional reaction is because when you have that feeling, what you, and you will hear people verbalize it this way, but what does it mean? As Christian believers, we go through judgment through this life, and what we're doing is constantly looking back on ourselves and reflecting, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I having this sort of reaction? And I believe it's imperative in our walk in faith that we have a constant mindset where we're doing that. When I read this story about biometric face scans to keep your bank account, I felt this sinking feeling in my stomach, like most of you would. And I stopped because I have this, you condition yourself to have this reaction. And I reflect on myself and I thought, why am I having this reaction? Why? You know, it's programming. And because it's defeatist. That sinking feeling is essentially telling you, don't even resist. You know, there's nothing you can do. They come up with this stuff. They do it over and over. Nobody wants it, but they do it anyway. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. So you just, there you are. Just shrug your shoulders. Just, you know, how many elections has everybody been through? And they say they're going to do this and they don't. Nobody voted for this Iran war fiasco. And we have it. Nobody's voted for, oh, let's shovel some more trillions of dollars to the top fraction of a freaking percent. But they do it anyway. You see, that emotional programming they've given us over our lifetime with these just constant, the way they do, the way the system functions, is to instill in us a why even bother, why try, there's nothing you can do mindset. That's what they want, to just go along, comply. That's where they get you. They want you to comply. And this is where our power actually is. I was thinking about this. Man, they're going to do, they're talking about doing biometrics because they always float it out there first. They tell you ahead of time what they're going to do. That's part of the humiliation ritual. They do humiliation rituals on us all the time. And they tell you up front what they're going to do. They float it out there. The Trump administration is considering an executive order because Congress doesn't do anything but have hearings in front of TV cameras. They don't actually do their job. And you're going to have a biometric face scan or whatever the hell if you want to keep your bank account. They tell you ahead of time so you can sit there and grapple with your helplessness. And I thought about that. The inevitability of it all. And then I thought to myself, why though? Why do we have that reaction? Well, because we see them, they just do what they want. And I thought to myself, okay, the people planning this, the people that are, you know, putting this out here ahead of time to get the idea planted in your head, you're going to have a biometric face scan to keep your bank account. These are the same people that said that discussed it amongst themselves and decided if they bombed Iran and killed their leadership, they'd surrender in 2 or 3 days. And here we are months later. Let that sink in. You see, this is another part of the programming. This idea that these people are just damn near omnipotent and there's nothing you can do to catch, you practically might as well be fighting against God. And it's stupid. These are the same people that had it in their head that if they bombed Iran, killed their leadership, the whole country would collapse in 3 days and they'd have they'd walk into an easy victory. This is the same people that spent 20 years and trillions of dollars to replace the Taliban with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And yet when we hear of the latest thing they're going to impose on us, what do we have? Oh, there's nothing we can do. They're just too smart and too powerful for us. They're damn near omnipotent. Really? Because, you know, I see them do stuff that's just downright retarded. But we give them this, we give them that power. When you assign to them that kind of power in your mind, you personally, for your interaction with them, you have given them that power over you. If you look at them and go, these are the same dumbasses that thought if they just bombed Iran, they'd give up in 3 days. Now they've created a global economic crisis and they have no idea what the hell to do. They attacked Iran and just, you know, even though there were people telling them, well, first thing they'll do, they've been telling them for decades, the first thing they'll do is shut down the Strait of Hormuz, detonate the global economy, and then we're screwed. But they did it anyway. Because the whole government will collapse in 2 or 3 days. Netanyahu says so. So let's stick with it, because that whole biometric face scan crap to keep your bank account really got to me, and I want to keep using that example in comparison to the same brilliant minds came up with the idea of decapitate Iranian leadership, the whole country will collapse, and we'll have a victory in 3 days. Let's say they do it. Let's say he issues an executive order in the name of fighting the illegals. They'll probably be, by then, they'll be like, I don't know, the MAGA will be reduced to literally, I don't know, what, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, and Laura Loomer. I still haven't figured out, this shit is so fake and gay. You know, remember, Laura Loomer was like a literal who. We were trolling her years ago with the whole, remember, she slashed her own tire. She was a loon back then. All of a sudden now she got like an office in the White House or some crap. MAGA be like five people saying this is making America great again. But let's say they did it. Let's say he does this and issues this executive order. You're going to have to go to the, you know, get your face scanned. You want your bank account, buddy, in America? That means you submit to Palantir and give them all your data and your information. We can track everything you're doing. Let's think about that. They're in the same context as their brilliant plan to collapse Iran in 3 days. How many people? Now, you know, I always say, if you have an idea, your plan is, if everyone will just, this is not a plan, because no one, everyone is never going to just. And you apply that to their Iran strategy, and basically their strategy was, if we decapitate the Iranian leadership, then if everyone in Iran will just take to the streets and overthrow the government, we win. You see, they kind of fell into that same trap. If everyone in Iran will just, only everyone doesn't ever just. But let's say they impose this on your bank account. Well, everyone is not going to just. You don't even start with, if everyone would just, because they're not. But you see, what makes this different is everyone doesn't have to just. If 10, maximum 20% of the population says, no, I'm not going to do it, they're in a lot of trouble. Let me tell you why. You go down to your bank, do some banking business. I don't know deposit a check or whatever. And the bank people tell you, well, before you leave, before we can do any of that, you need to step in this room so we can put this probe in your ass and the other one in your mouth. Wait a minute, wrong probe. It's this one in your mouth and that one in your ass. A little Idiocracy reference for you. And get all of your data. 3 vials of blood and a sperm sample for you to keep your bank account. And you're like, say what? No, man, I ain't doing that. Well, you got to do it or we'll close your bank account. And you say, close it now. Show me the money. Give me that money now. Depending on how much money you have in your bank account, you're going to be surprised. I don't know any of y'all's personal financial business. None of my business. But if you have a little money in the bank, here's a little exercise. For say, if you've got, you know, $20,000 in the bank, go down to your bank, your local branch or whatever that you usually bank at, and tell them you want to draw $10,000 out of the bank. It's not a huge amount of money. I mean, it is for me. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, you go to the bank. Tell them you want to draw $10,000 out. And I would be willing to bet you the bank person is going to tell you, we don't have that much money here. I kid you not, many, many years ago, I had a little money in the bank. This, again, probably 20, 25 years ago. And I needed to go buy something. And then, you know, you had to take cash. And I went down to the bank. And I think it was like $7,500. Might have been $8,000. I went down to the bank. I'm like, hey, I got to go buy something. You know, this person's expecting cash. They're not going to take a check from me. I need $7,500 cash. And the bank girl looks at me. She goes, we don't have that kind of money, sir. I'm like, you're the bank and you ain't got $7,500? We don't keep that kind of money because they don't deal in that kind of cash. Banking is numbers on a computer. So you tell them, you're not sticking the probe in my ass. I want my money. I'm closing the account. I'm going to save you the trouble of closing my account for refusing to do this. Give me my cash now. We don't have that kind of money, sir. You're going to have to go down to the main bank. Now you understand where we're getting to. That's one dude. If 10% of their customers, maybe 20 if you're lucky, tell them that, they're in a lot of trouble. They don't have the money. Now, obviously, the vast majority of people are going. They're going to do it. They're going to act like livestock. They're going to act like cattle. They're going to act like sheep. And they're going to go right along.
Like, I don't do this. The government said so. This is stop the illegals.
But you know what? Even among the 80, maybe 90% that are a bunch of damn cattle and are going to go along with it. They're standing over here. They're also in the line with you. And you know what they're hearing? I mean, they're ready. They already went in and got the anal probe. But they're standing there all of a sudden. Then they hear, we don't have the money. I don't care how big of a, I don't care how much of a goy you are. If you're standing in the line and you let them put the anal probe in and so you could keep your precious bank account because you justified it somehow in your head, but all of a sudden you hear the bank teller telling the guy next to him who says, draw my money out, and he ain't drawing no $6 million out. He drawing out like 10 grand, and the lady's like, we don't have the money. Even if she follows that up with, you'll have to go to the main bank and they can give you that money. They ain't going to hear that part. What they're going to hear, bank ain't got no money. That's what they're going to hear. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go in a panic. Again, not all 90, 80, 90% of the cattle have to go into a panic. Another 30%. They're going to go home. They're going to go straight to Facebook and post on there, I was in the bank today. They ain't got no money. Remember the toilet paper runs during COVID? Remember that? People got on there and like, there ain't going to be no toilet paper, and toilet paper is going to be currency. We're going to be buying and selling in toilet paper. And they went and wiped the shelves out, wiped the toilet paper supply out. Most of it coming off of Facebook because they all ran out and put it on Facebook. And remember, we're talking human lives. We're talking goys here. Livestock mentality. It started a stampede. You ever see them movies, cattle drive, stampede? That's how it works. No, you can't stop. Once the stampede starts, you can't stop them and say, wait, wait, wait. You got to understand. Once the livestock mentality goes into stampede mode, if you're the bank, you're in a heap of shit. The word spreads on Facebook. The bank don't have no money. Before they can get in front of it, the stampede starts. Everybody runs to the bank. Everybody starts demanding their money, and you collapse the bank. 10-20% initiating that across the country. Now you're in trouble. They ain't worried about you. I see people posting online. Everybody needs to just refuse to stop paying taxes. They ain't worried about that shit. And they're correct to not be worried about that. I saw another deal recently saying on May 1st, everybody, this was a week or so back, is a national work stoppage day. We're going to show them on May 1st, nobody's going to work. Did you hear about it? No, because they ain't worried about it for good reason. That shit ain't going nowhere. I've seen that kind of call time and time again, and nothing ever comes up. They ain't scared of that. You want to form up a militia and go out on the weekends and jump around in the woods and play soldier. They don't give a shit about that either. You ain't threatening the system with that. But if you threaten the banks, if you have a bank run, they're scared of that. They ain't scared of randos posting on the internet, well, I ain't paying my taxes no more. They ain't scared of that at all. That don't keep them up at night. Bank runs, that keeps them up at night. If you're talking about collapsing, threatening the bank system, that's the kind of stuff that keeps them up at night. That's the kind of stuff their nightmares are fueled by, because that gets to the actual heart of what supports the system, doesn't it? Not taxes. That's some disgruntled taxpayers threatening to not pay their income tax anymore. Threatening the banking system, that's an actual threat to the system. There's economic problems they've already kicked off with their foolish endeavor attacking Iran. Prices going up, people already stretched thin, check to check, they're broke. In a lot of ways, they have potentially already baked it in, their own demise. Because when people don't have no money, that means somebody ain't getting paid. You know, no blood from a turnip, as the saying goes. I don't know about you, but me, if I get so tight, I sit down. I pay my bills once a week. I don't know how you do yours. I pay mine once a week. I sit down, I collect them. I sit down and say, who do I got to pay this week? Me personally, if I sit down and these are the bills I got to pay, I got to buy my food, you know, gas, whatever I got to buy. And I have this much money and I don't have enough money. For me personally, the first people that ain't getting paid is credit card companies. Screw them. No, seriously. It's unsecured debt. That's how they justify charging the ungodly amount of interest they do. They say, what's unsecured debt, though? You know, that's they're taking a greater risk. That's why they can do usury on you. Fine. Then get ready to eat the other side of that two-sided blade, because I'm not paying them. That's the first people I ain't paying. I remember years ago during the 08 financial crisis, and there were financial advisors on TV, and this one lady was a financial advisor, and she said, first people you don't pay is your credit card company. She said, I'll sit down with people to try to help them work their finances out, and she says, you would be shocked. I'm always appalled, because there will be these people be like, well, I'm 3 months behind on my house payment, but I'm current on all my credit cards. And she's like, what the hell is wrong with you? The credit card is the first one you don't pay. You pay the people that can take away your stuff, your house, your car. You got to pay them first. The credit card companies, If 10, 20% of the people default out on their credit card debts, you're threatening the banking system. Now, that's and that's not even people intentionally doing it. They just ain't got it. And in an organized, see, you don't have to, you're not relying on that if everyone will just. It's just baked in because of their dumbass decisions. Everybody was already broke. Now you're going to make them more broke. Guess what? They're not going to pay their credit cards. And all of a sudden, the bank is sitting on all this defaulted on credit card debt. Banks collapse. Feed that in. If it happens to fall in at the same time as the words going around on Facebook, the bank ain't got no money. And the system comes tumbling down. Now, bear with me because I hear some of you right now. But GPD, GPD, GPD. You don't get it. This is all part of the plan. They want to collapse the system. They're going to march in the One World Order, the Agenda 2030. My gosh, don't you get it? We're not helpless. Now, I always say, you know, and I myself say, you have to understand the central coordinating factor to all of this, because there is an organized structure to it. There's a top down, there's leadership to it. And then you get into the spiritual aspect of it. You know, who's organizing it? It's not the World Economic Forum. It's one of the, you know, faces that gets put out in the public. You know, that's why you know about them. So organized, there is a spiritual level. The when you go to the top of the pyramid of where it comes from, it is spiritually. It's from the devil. That's the next level. And you have to recognize that. But again, where's the defeatist mindset come from? When you point that out and people recognize it, which is good, you got to recognize it. And then you have Christian believers that are essentially like, well, if the devil's behind it, what can you do? You're saying Satan is the one, he's the center of it. He's the top of the pyramid, and all this other stuff filters down into this world, and this is a part of Satan's grand master plan? Maybe. To an extent, yes, I think so. And you're a Christian believer, and you throw your hands up and go, shit. If it's Satan behind it, there ain't nothing we can do about it. We can't do anything about the devil. What the hell? You know? Look at James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. We're staying on the same subject, so stick with me here. James chapter 4, 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Here's the line, and you're all familiar with it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. Let me tell you something. If you've already got the defeatist mindset of if it's the devil behind it, government people, whoever, there's nothing you can do, you ain't resisting. You're submitting. And here's where it is. Regardless, if you want to trace it down to it comes all the way down to the devil, or if you're going to stop at it's somehow these brilliant masterminds, the World Economic Forum, Washington, D.C., or whoever the hell, whatever level you want. When it gets to what do we do? Resist. It's right there. We just read it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist? First, you always have to be looking for the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you're going to go along with things. Once you recognize the truth, you have to reject their lies. And there's where the rub comes in. This is where I said earlier we were going to reference back to COVID. That was one of their big experiments. They were part of it. Experiment to see how many people would comply and how many would resist. At the time, you probably didn't think much of it. But when you refused to wear the mask, you were resisting. You might have not thought it was any big deal. It wasn't a revolutionary. You weren't in the streets waving a revolutionary flag or firing rounds off. But you were resisting, you see, in the face of an absurdity. They told everybody, wear a bandana over your face, anything, a t-shirt. And it's going to stop the deadly doom virus. It is an absurd lie, and people would be like, oh, that doesn't stop anything. You don't understand. They don't care that you know that. The whole point is you were supposed to know it and then do it anyway. Once you submit, they've got control over you. And this gets to the heart of the spiritual conflict, you see. If the devil just simply tricks you, that's one thing. But if you know what is being demanded of you, what's being told to you is utter and undeniable bullshit, and you go along with it anyway just because you've submitted. There's the heart. There is the point of confrontation, the point of conflict, the tip of the spear, however you want to say it. The line of contact, if you're in the military, the line of contact is when they tell you something that's a lie and you go along with the lie anyway, even knowing yourself that it's a lie. You see, early on, you may be going along with it because you don't understand that it's a lie. It's an error because it's still wrong. But the big breaking point, the line of contact is the minute you understand, wait a minute, that's a lie. But you go along with it anyway. You don't want to stand out. You don't want to make any waves. Now you've submitted. You may think, oh, well, I saved myself some inconvenience here. And look. Let me say this. If you went along with it during COVID, don't sit here and beat yourself up. Just look at it, recognize it, and say, that was a mistake. You know, I ain't saying you're going to hell. I'm saying, look at it and say, oh, yeah, I see now. So, because there's going to be more coming. 100% guarantee it's coming. Whatever form it takes, it's coming. The minute you recognize that it's BS, don't submit to it. Just don't. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a lie. How do I know that the top of that pyramid where it comes from is Satan? Because Jesus told us he's a liar and a murderer, has been from the beginning. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue because that's all he does. When you see this stuff that gets pushed on everybody that nobody wants over and over and over again, what's the common denominator? It's always a lie. Who's the father of lies? Bingo. This is where it's coming from. This is why it's so well organized. This is why over generations, over years, decades, you see the push in the same. This is the organizing factor. It's not a secret cabal. It's not, you know, this group of old guys gets together. I mean, there may be some of that to a certain extent, but that's not the source of it. Generational organization towards a long-term plan comes from leadership. And when you see that the narrative always comes from a lie, as a Christian believer, it shouldn't be real hard to put together where it's coming from. But again, why do Christians, when they realize that, they throw their hands up and go, well, Satan's coming from, well, my gosh, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. It's from the devil. He's way too powerful for us. What did we just read? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Wait. We're supposed to have the upper hand here. What are you talking about? Moses didn't say attack the devil, just to resist. When you recognize the lies, stop complying. Referencing back to COVID, they used a lot of the same communists, the KGB tactics from the old Soviet Union. We saw that, you know. They would convince people, like in places such as East Germany, excuse me, that everybody was going to turn them in. You know, they were convinced that there was a, whatever the East, it slips my mind, there's a different term, but it's basically the East German version of the KGB. I'll just say KGB so we can get to the point. You know, there's a KGB guy spying on every one of us 24/7. Of course, there wasn't. They just convinced everybody that there was. You see? They would encourage people to turn on one another. You have a dispute with your neighbor. Well, maybe they'll just turn you in. See, we saw a lot of that with the COVID stuff. And again, that was laying the groundwork. That was a trial run. I said this before, you know, if you were a mask refuser, most of you probably were, honestly. And again, don't beat yourself up if you weren't. That's done now. Learn some lessons and move forward. But if you were a mask refuser, like many of us were, I refused to wear the mask. And you know what the most that ever happened is one time I went into a restaurant with somebody I know, IRL. I went into a restaurant and they stopped us at the door and said, you have to have a mask to come in here. It's a Mexican restaurant. And I'm looking over there and there's like 5 foot away, there's people sitting at a table eating chips. And I'm like, well, they don't have masks on. They're eating their chips. But you have to have a mask on to come in here, sir. So I can walk 5 feet to a table, sit down and take the damn thing off and eat my chips. This is how ridiculous. But that's the point. Submit to the lie. The ding-dong waitress standing there telling us we couldn't go in there and eat. You know, it just never computed in her head how stupid this all is. That you're telling someone you can't come in here and sit down 5 feet from here, take your mask off, and start eating chips and sauce, hot sauce. You know, it just, because it's a lie. There's a deadly doom virus. You got to wear the mask and walk 5 feet and take it off and eat your chips. It's an obvious lie. It's supposed to be obvious because you're supposed to submit to it. Me and myself and the person that was with me, we said, well, fine. We left, went somewhere else that didn't say a word. By the way, that business is no longer in business. Did them a lot of good to submit. Devil always consumes his own. These people that go along with the lie, they think they get a pass. That's the other thing. You submit to the devil and to his lies thinking, oh, well, this will get me by then. You know, I can skip the pain. He's a liar and a murderer. You know, oh, well, we got to stay in business. We got to make everybody wear a mask. Well, I went to a restaurant right down the street and ain't nobody wearing no mask in there. Nobody came in and shut them down. But see, they got people convinced in their head that would happen. That place is still in business. The place that required the mask is out of business. Compliance and submission to the lie does not guarantee you're going to get a pass. The point here is, they ain't got enough police. Most of the enforcement back during COVID and with anything else that comes along isn't going to be enforced by the cops. It's going to be enforced by Karen. You know, some rando starts screeching at you in the store that you got to do it. They have no authority over you. They just want to convince you. There's social pressure. And sadly, it's very effective. It's the same tactic. Like I said, in the Soviet Union, people were convinced that anybody could be a spy for the Stasi or whatever. In fact, it was just your asshole neighbor being an asshole like he always is or something. The point here is, when you recognize, you resist the devil. Just don't comply. Just say no. You know, when you realize it's BS, when you realize it's nonsense, weigh it, look at it, figure it out for yourself, and just don't comply. Everybody's not going to just. Most of the cattle are going to go along with it. I'm kind of moved beyond being disappointed in my fellow man. I just accept that's the way people are. But in a lot of these cases, as we've already discussed, it don't take everybody just. 10-20% is probably going to be enough. Our perspective as Christian believers, we always have to get back on task. Learning, seeking, acknowledging the Lord in all that we do. Growing spiritually. You're going to screw things up. Like I've said before, look, if you fell for it during the COVID, don't beat yourself up. This is a part of the process. We learn. That's what you're supposed to be doing. As long as you're learning from the mistakes, that's why Jesus died for our sins. So we learn from our mistakes and do better moving forward. As believers, this we acknowledge constantly to ourselves, that this whole thing is temporary. I think there's great inspiration in the sacrifice made by, you know, by the apostles. Most of them executed in horrific manners, crucifixion and the like. You know, these terrible, terrible ways they were killed. And no one even threatening you. They threatened to close your bank account down. That's enough for me. Now, you know, no one talking about skinning you alive or crucifying you or burning you alive. What does that say about our own faith? You know, you're gonna step out of the temporal realm into the eternal realm, and you're gonna see the disciples there, the apostles who, you know, you got executed in a horrific way, and be like, wow, I don't know how you did that. Is so amazing, your faith. And they'll be like, well, how did you fare? Well, they threatened to close my bank account down, and there's no way I could live with that. It's kind of sad, isn't it? As soon as I heard they were going to do something, I threw my hands up and said, well, what can you do? The government says so, so we got to go along. My gosh, they could make life inconvenient for me or something. You know, we have to have that perspective. If you have an eternal perspective, the temporal doesn't have nearly the threat over you, the hold over you, you know. As it is written, don't fear those. Jesus said, don't fear those who at the end of the day, the most they can do is kill you. At the end of the day, that's their big threat. It all boils down to they threaten and harass and this and that. At the end of the day, they can kill you. That's what they got. What'd Jesus say? Don't fear those that at the end of the day, all they can do is kill you. Fear the one that after you leave this temporal realm can cast you into hell. You know, look for the lies. You look for the BS. And when you recognize and figure it out, I'm not going to go along. I'm not going to submit to the lie. I'm not.
Oh, yeah, well, if you don't.
Okay. Okay. Hit me with your best shot, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what do you say?
We'll badmouth you. We'll spread rumors about you. We'll shut down your bank account. We'll harass you with the cops. We'll.
Okay, you don't have any control over what other people do. You have control over yourself. So, you know. Again, as believers, we come back to this is, we have a core mission. We know, we should know what that core mission is from the Lord. Why we're here, and at the end of the day, that's what we carry out. We do the rest of our business and survive in this world as best as we can, but we come back to, we have this simple, well-defined mission that the Lord has given us to spiritually grow, to come to know Him, you know, to learn of Him, to go through this experience, to spiritually mature so that we're ready for the real. This is, the whole thing is the prologue. Where this whole life is just the prologue. We're going to get done with the prologue, and then we start the real story in the kingdom of God. We know that. We stay on that mission, and we keep moving forward. This is what I'm saying. I don't understand why I see Christian people and they throw their hands up immediately. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just the devil's work. We just got to wait around for Jesus to come save us. Jesus ain't your servant. Yes, victory is ultimately ours. At some point in time, the Lord will shut this whole thing down. I don't know when it is, but if it happens in my lifetime. Yeah, I see people get hung up on that. We got to wrap up here, but I see people get hung up on that. You know, when's Jesus coming back? When? I don't know. But if he happened to come back in my lifetime, I want him to find me resisting. I want him to find me doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He'll take care of the rest. But these people, oh, well, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to sit here on my hands. I'm just going to go along with all the worldly nonsense, and Jesus will show up and fix all of it. He ain't your servant. If you got that mindset, you're on the wrong track.
Yeah, but there's no point in resisting. You can't stop it.
There is a point in resisting. When the Lord returns, I don't know about you. I want him to find me doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't care if the rest of the world is just in flames and, you know, just collapsed on itself in a massive hedonistic pile of shit. I don't care. As long as I'm here doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't care if it's fruitless. The Lord isn't going to say, how come you didn't stop all of this? He's going to look and acknowledge that, well, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Everybody else has gone to hell in a handbasket, or soon will be. I want to be found doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I can't control what other people are going to do. I can't control government decisions or all of the rest of this. I do have control over myself. Do not be one of those believers that sits around, I just wait here, I just go along, and Jesus is going to come and fix it for me. Okay, well, maybe you can't fix it, but you damn sure can resist it. Is he going to find you going along with everybody else? You going to be indistinguishable from everybody else? Or are you going to say, I'm not going to bow down and submit to a lie? That's the point of contact. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you got something out of it, as always. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And, of course, as always, hope we'll see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.